you would turn with me in your Bibles this morning, we're going to get straight to it. Matthew chapter 13. We studied about half of the chapter last week, and I'm going to go back and catch you up very quickly now. Jesus gives us the definitions of words, and it's important that we learn the definition of words. I'm going to teach you some hermeneutics this morning. Hermeneutics is one of those $50 words that means to rightly divide the Word of God, to understand how to rightly divide the Word of God. This is just like a code, and it's very simple if you have the cipher. And what I'm giving you is the cipher. It is a simple thing. Jesus defines words, and words will always mean the same thing. So here are the words from the parables that we're going to study this morning. The kingdom of God means the church of Christ, and we're going to be proving that over the next few months. The sower was Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 13, verse 37. The seed is the word of God. The field is the world. The soil is the human heart. Fowls of the air are Satan. The wayside is a hard-hearted disciple. The stony places is a shallow-hearted disciple. The thorns are a sinful disciple. The good ground is an honest and good heart that heareth the word of God and keep it, Luke says. Now, we studied this parable in Matthew, Mark, and Luke last week. We're going to quickly read over what we studied last week just to get our minds right. Then we're going to jump into the rest of this chapter. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to a ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. Jesus has received unprecedented popularity. But how serious were these people who have come to hear? Are they using their God-given hearing like God wants them to? And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured him up. And some fell among the stony places, and where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's get to the bottom line of this and understand. God is telling us that out of those who hear the pure word of God, the truth, only 1 in 4 of y'all are going to make it. Now I hope the other 3 out of the 4 has already gone away and all of y'all are that 1 of the 4. I really hope that. But the Bible is teaching there are 4 types of human heart. The hard-hearted disciple doesn't make it. Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in his heart before it can take root and grow. The shallow-hearted disciple never really gets to a life of faith with God. The thorns are the sinful disciples, and they are overcome by the sins of this world and the pleasures and cares of this world. And so, therefore, they're overcome. And finally, the good-hearted disciple. So you pray. Pray every day. Examine your own self and say, Lord, am I a good-hearted disciple? Well, you'll start seeing what a good-hearted disciple is. A good-hearted disciple is one that heareth the word of God and keeps it. And so we're going to continue now with our study in verse 10. And the disciples came to said unto him, Why speakest thou to them in parables? And he said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. See, that's what we're studying here, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. This is a series that we've been going through, and for months now I've been showing you how God has revealed to his people in the scripture this coming of the kingdom of God. It is you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For who Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And so if you want to understand that, go read the parable of the talents found in Matthew chapter 25. And you'll see one person that gets 1 talent, and 1 2 talents, and 1 5 talents. And so you'll see what that means. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, in hearing they hear not. You know, it's amazing, I find it amazing, how I can tell people things and give them instructions and them do something else. It's really amazing. And what it really amounts to is that they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Their mind was somewhere else. They heard, but it went in one ear and out the other. People disrespect me that way. How do you think they do God? They do Him that way too. And so I'm encouraging you to hear what God says, believe it, and take action on it. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people, the Jews, the Israel at this time, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should become converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, the disciples now, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And in 1 Peter 1:10, we read this last week, how Peter talks about how the Old Testament prophets, they searched the Scripture and they went earnestly in prayer to God, asking God, please explain to me what you've had me write down here in the Bible. Isaiah didn't understand that 53rd chapter when he wrote it down. He wrote it down word for word, letter for letter, paragraph for paragraph. He wrote it down according to dictation as God gave it to him, as God moved him to write it down, but he did not understand what he was writing. He didn't understand how that the Christ was going to come and live and die and be buried and raised again the third day. They just couldn't add it up. And so Jesus is telling them, all the prophets of the Old Testament long to hear what you hear from the Messiah, long to see how the Christ would heal and do all of these miracles. They longed for that, and they didn't get to see it. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside, the hard-hearted disciple, the unloving, judgmental, hard-hearted, hypocritical disciple. The seed can't take root in the disciple. But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, right away, receive it with joy, receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself. He's shallow-hearted. He hadn't got into the word of God. As Peter says, seek ye the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he's offended. The boss makes fun of them at work, so they quit going to church because they don't want anybody laughing at them, making fun of them. And he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that receiveth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. The sinful, carnal disciple, the person that thinks that they can walk with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in this world, serving two masters, serving God and mammon, serving God and dope, serving God and being drunk all the time. You've got to get those things under control. You've got to get your sins under control. If you've truly become a Christian, you're going to become temperate. You're going to become so that you don't drink as much, you don't dope as much, you don't do that stuff that you used to do. You got to grow up. It's just time to grow up. And he that receiveth the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD, songbook. We'd encourage you to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads, great acapella singing, and fair to Midland Gospel Preaching. And so let's stop right here, and we're going to go back to where we were studying a few weeks ago, to Matthew 7, and pick up where we left off in Matthew 7, verse 13. And as you remember, we did an extensive study on Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And so we studied these terms, the way and the faith that's found in the Bible. And I want you to notice the article the. We studied this extensively. The article the means the one and only faith, the one and only way. There are not a bunch of ways. There's the way, and then there are other ways. And I want you to consider that if you're part of the world's biggest religious organization that claims Christianity, you're probably in the wrong outfit. Because Jesus said, there'll be few there be that find it, not many. And so if you're going along with the herd, if you're going along just because there's thousands of people there, you should be looking for a place that's just got hundreds and not thousands, because that's the type of place you're going to find the real Word of God at, instead of teachings of men. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Not many. Few there be that find it. Many find the broad way. Few find the straight way. Get it in your head. If you're with the herd, you're probably in a bad situation with God if you're with the herd. Because straight is the gate, and there's the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. And so I have this picture for you out front, and I hope that most of you have looked it over. I've had it out there for about a month now so that you could see it. And it's a flock of sheep. And you know what one of them is? One of them is a wolf. And he's got his little sheep hat on, and he's got his little sheep leggings on, and he's got his fleece on, and he fits right in there with them. He fits right in there with them. They're hard to spot. They're not easy to spot. They fit right in there with them. Do you really think that if Satan came to you tonight that he would have two horns and a tail? Do you really think that, wearing a red suit? The Bible says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If Satan comes to your house tonight and you had a vision, or Satan appeared to you personally, you would think it was an angel. All of us would be confused. All of us would have been fooled. We must be very, very careful. I sent this to a very good friend of mine, a preacher, and he told me, he said, Kelly, he said, I looked at that 10 minutes and didn't see nothing. He said, but then I seen it. He said, it's so plain. He said, it's just so plain. And that's the way they are. They put on their little outfits. They get their nice white collar on. They get their real good suit. They get a big ring on. They want you to kiss it. They carry a staff with a cross on it. They got holy water and all the stuff. They got all the utensils. They just don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Beware of false prophets that come into you sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. It ought to be simple. You ought to be able to tell. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so when you hear these preachers saying, send me $50 and put your hand on the TV set and I'm going to heal you and all that stuff. You know, my granddaddy said, people are crazy. They really are. Said they'll stand around naked in a room full of wasps if you charge them something. They really will. And so Don't get caught up in that. And we tell our radio audience, don't you dare send any money in here thinking God's going to forgive you because you send some money in here. That's not the way that God works. You cannot buy this. This is a free gift. All the money in the world can't buy it. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it's not just good enough to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not good enough. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many, you remember the broad way, all those people that were in the broad way, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? I'm going to tell you something right now, that's not me. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do any of that. None of it. That's not me. And you notice nobody tells him, Lord, Lord, I trusted you to save me. I trusted nobody but you, Jesus, to save me. I put it all on you. Nobody says that to him and gets cast out. You'll be safe if you can say that to him. Lord, I bet it all on you. You'll be safe then. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And in Luke's parallel account to this, in Luke 6:46, take a second and jump over there to that, Luke 6, verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Now that's a good question, isn't it? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not practice the things that I say? Back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so now verse 24. Therefore whosoever shall heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And so we've studied this rock metaphor many times. It's found in Isaiah 28, Isaiah 8. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2. On and on and on, this rock metaphor. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus our Lord, 1 Corinthians the 3rd chapter. Only foundation, the only rock that counts is Jesus Christ. The apostles were with Jesus, and he asked them in Matthew 16, whom do men say that I am? They said, well, some of them say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some one of the prophets. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not declared this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, little bitty rock, little bitty pebble, feminine gender word, thou art Peter, Petros, little bitty rock, a stone in your shoe, thou art Petros, but upon this rock, Petra, entirely different Greek word, masculine gender word, upon this rock, bedrock, upon this sure foundation, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what is that rock? That rock is not built upon a little bitty stone, Peter. It is built upon the foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That confession that is found in Matthew chapter 13, just before Jesus said that. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, unto Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? On the day of Pentecost, Peter got to preach the first gospel sermon. He got to open the church house door that everybody else has gone in ever since in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 33 and 23 says, and Peter standing up with the 11. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. And please visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Who built his house upon a rock. And so that rock is Jesus Christ. We build our house upon the rock of Jesus Christ, it's going to be safe. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it's founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. and great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. What type of doctrine would you expect if God himself became flesh and blood and came to teach us? Just what we've read and studied in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's what we would expect of a good, kind, loving God. What is found in the Scriptures. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now back to Matthew chapter 13. We're at verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. We went back and checked out how Jesus said, watch out, enter at straight gates. Straight's the gate, and narrow's the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. For broad's the gate, and wide's the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Now, what is Satan going to do? The sower comes into the world and sows good seed. Satan is going to counterfeit it, isn't he? He's going to make a counterfeit to confuse us so that we won't know where to go. We won't know where to go to find help, to find the Lord. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man. The words remain the same. Who's the man? Jesus. Who's the sower? Jesus. To a man that sowed good seed in his field. So Jesus came and sowed good seed in the earth. The field is the earth, in the field. But while men slept, this is our fault. This is not God's fault. We went to sleep at the switch. Our forefathers went to sleep at the switch. All throughout history, we've gone to sleep at the switch. We've let men do this. Men do this kind of thing. Men who are led by Satan. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now this word here, tares, in the Greek is darnel. And darnel is a cousin to wheat. It looks exactly like wheat. It has a seed like wheat. And when it comes up in the ground, it looks like wheat. And you don't know that it's darnel until it begins to blossom. Then you see that it's darnel. And it was a common way for wicked people to sabotage their neighbor. So if I got something against old Martin here, and he owns the field next to mine, and Martin goes out and sows good seed in this field, so he goes to sleep at night, and I go out there with this darnel, and I spread it all out in that field of his. He won't know it for 3 months. He won't even know it. But when it comes up, it will ruin his crop. It'll make his wheat so that it's bitter and not fit for human consumption. All you can do is feed it to cattle and to livestock. It drives down the value. You make a man go broke. There was laws in Israel against doing this. There was laws in the Roman Empire against doing this. There were laws all the way back to the Greek Empire against doing this. It was a common way for a man to sabotage his neighbor. And while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. I want you to notice it's among the wheat. Now the real seed grows up in the kingdom of God. So where are these tares sown? They're sown among the kingdom of God. Even though they're grown from people in the world, they're people who claim to be in the kingdom of God. And he went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares, the darnel also. So when the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? Are we going to have religious wars? Are we in the churches of Christ going to get the sword and the shield and go out and battle the Baptists and root them up, make them learn the Bible right? Or are we going to go out and attack the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Episcopalians and everybody? No, that's not what to do, Jesus said. And gather them up. And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together into the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And so we're going to get this explained to us in a minute, but it ought to be simple. You ought to be able to already understand it from the explanations we have. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Jesus took and sowed in his field. The point of all of these parables is no one parable can describe the kingdom of God. It takes a lot of parables to describe the kingdom of God. And so it's like the grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest of herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come together and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, what could that mean? What are the birds of the air? What are the fowls? Who are the fowls? Satan. So, the church grows up to be big and universal, and who comes and sits in it? Fowls of the air. Satan. This ought to be simple stuff, shouldn't it? We'd encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape, and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads of a cappella singing and gospel preaching. So the fowls come and lodge in the branches thereof. Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. It's simply teaching that the church is going to penetrate. The church is always growing, ever expanding, ever penetrating into the world. And so if you take a little thing of leaven and you put 3 measures of meal, that was the proper recipe to make bread. You put 3 measures of meal in 1 measure of leaven, and so this leaven will leaven the whole loaf of bread, and the church should do the same thing. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We should ever be penetrating, ever expanding, ever growing, ever having an influence on our community and all those around us. Verse 34. And all these things Jesus spake into parables, and without a parable he spake not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So Psalm 78 verse 2 is what Matthew quotes there. He quotes from that Old Testament prophecy, saying that when the Messiah comes, he's going to teach you in parables. Verse 36. When Jesus had sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So you see the definition. The sower is Jesus, is the Son of Man. The field is the world, just like we have written up here. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one, children of Satan. And they're right in here among us. Besides being a congregation that only 1 out of 4 really make it, not only that, the children of the wicked one are here too. And of course, some of them's got on their suit. They've got on their suit. They're looking real good. They got their little sheep hat on and their little sheep leggings, and you just can't hardly tell them apart. They know all the secret handshakes, and they know all the passwords that we know. They appear to be wheat, but they're really darn ill. Children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be the wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now we're going to get a very, very nice parable. I really like this parable. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And so, You know, it gives the idea of maybe I have heard explanations of this parable for many years. Most people take the explanation of this parable to be that when I hear about the kingdom of God, that it's so wonderful, it's like a treasure, and I go and sell all that I have to buy that field so that I can have the kingdom of God in a church. And so people just breeze right along through that parable and never get it, never practice proper hermeneutics, never. And so I want you to practice proper hermeneutic and understand this morning. Again is the first word of that parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven. With that word again, Jesus is telling us that this parable is just like the other parables that I've taught you about. It's just like that. Again, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field. Now, if we want to know the meaning of words, we don't go to Webster's dictionary to find the meaning of words in the Bible. We go to the Bible to find the meaning of words. So keep your place here, but turn with me now back to Exodus chapter 19, just prior to giving the Ten Commandments, God tells His people, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people upon the earth. For all the earth is mine. God says that His people are a treasure. We're the treasure. You're the treasure. Individually, you're the treasure. Well, prove it again, preacher. Let's look at Psalms 135, verse 4. Psalms 135, verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto Himself in Israel for His particular treasure. His people for His particular treasure. There are many instances of that, but those two ought to be enough to help you there. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, this parable's just like all the other parables in this chapter. Again, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure you hid in a field. What's the field? The world. The world is a field. You're like treasure hid in the world. Of which when a man, who's the man? Jesus is the man. Of which when a man findeth it, did Jesus come looking for you? He come looking for all of us, didn't he? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19:2. What man among you that hath 100 sheep doth not leave them in the wilderness? If one go astray, doth not leave them in the wilderness and go seeketh that which was lost? And when he findeth it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. God is better than man. God is kinder than man. This is what God is like. This is not what we're like. We're not able to buy the field, to buy our salvation. If the parable held true, if it was us finding the treasure, it would mean that we could buy the field, buy the world, buy our salvation. Money will not buy salvation. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field, of which when a man, Jesus, has found the searching love of God, come looking for sinners, he hideth it. Does Jesus hide you? Throughout the Old Testament Psalms, we're told about how Christ hideth our soul. In Psalms chapter 17, verse 8, Psalms chapter 17, verse 8, keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 27, verse 5, 27, verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Oh, built our house upon a rock, huh? Psalms 31, verse 20. 31, verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them in a pavilion from strife of tongues. And so throughout the psalm, we're told about how God wants to hide us, hide our soul up under His wings, like the mother protecting a little chick. Again, just like the other parables, the kingdom of heaven, the church, is likened to treasure. You personally, hid in the field, hid in the world, of which when a man, Jesus, findeth it, he hideth it, he's ready to take your soul into confidence and hide it. And for the joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Was it a joy for Christ to die for you? The Bible says that it was a joy for Christ to die for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was a joy for God to send Christ to die for you and to die in your place. He hideth it and buyeth that field. What are we bought with? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Tells us what we're bought with. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as with silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers. Redeemed means buy back. You were not redeemed with silver and gold, but what were you redeemed with? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we're redeemed with. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure, you, hid in the field, hid in the world, of which when a man, Jesus, the searching love of God coming into the world, which a man findeth it, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He hideth it, he protects you, and for the joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he has, and uses his own precious blood to buy us back. He buyeth that field. Isn't that a wonderful parable? It's just wonder. And once we see that God is better than man, that this is what God's like, this is not what I'm like, then we can begin to practice the traditional understanding of this. Then we'll start to give our all for the kingdom of God. But even when you do that someday, always remember that when you've done all these things, still say that we are unprofitable servants because we've only done that which is our duty to do. We'd encourage you this morning to make a decision for Christ. We'd encourage our radio audience to make a decision for Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So we want to encourage you to go and make a commitment to Jesus, make a commitment to the gospel. The gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that if you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. That all you need to do then is put a little faith and trust in God to save you. Because the book says without faith, possible to please him. Then you need to confess Christ as Lord. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. And the Bible teaches that we need to repent of our sins. For the times of ignorance God has winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so that's what we need to do, those things. And then finally the Bible teaches that we need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity right now, you could just march right down here. Just come right down here and see me and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Your car. I'm going to get your car.
I know. Let's go through and get them out of the pews. Sickness, and we'll be glad to pray for you, brother. We love you. We're glad that you're here. We're sure glad you was baptized a while back. We'll help you with a wheelchair. You need something.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Come now. This is a free gift God offers you. Won't you come now while we continue to sing?
Thought you had died. I was glad to see you this morning. They had told us you had died. See that you say you want a place membership. You know, I talked to you this morning about being baptized. That's the way that we do that.
My knee's really hurting right now.
Yeah. Well, the way that you place membership is you're baptized into Christ and God adds you to the church. Sam.
While these folks are filling out their cards, we've yet time. Won't you come now while we continue to sing?
That one said, looked like they said baptism, but I don't know where they are.
Jeffrey Robertson, I'll call him. She's to be baptized. You got his card? You got his card. Jackson.
Anthony Jackson.
All right, Jackson, you did it again now. You need to quit calling people and trying to panhandle around here. And that's the only thing I got against you. And I've talked to you with witnesses about that. Don't do that anymore. We want to help you, and we'll help you all that we can. But you got to get this drinking and alcohol and drugs under control. We're not going to let you destroy your life, bro. So you sit right here. We're going to pray for you. And I want you to pray for me because I'm a sinner just like you. You understand? Dead jobs.
Be seated, please. Is Jeffrey Robinson here, please? Brother Jeffrey Robinson, come up, please, didn't you? Did you check here that you wanted to be baptized this morning? Just come and have a seat right here, brother. We have coming this morning Sister Kim Barber. Kim, would you stand, please, and face the church? Kim, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? You want to repent of your sins now and confess Christ as Lord? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, sister, we'll baptize you right away. Thank you. God bless you. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now, Jeff, we're sure glad to have you, brother. Thanks, glad to have you here with us. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
You're now ready to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
Yes, I am.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, brother, we'll baptize you right away.
Help him out. So, thank you. Anthony.
All right, Kim, just a few minutes. I now ask you to name the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.